Good morning. I'm Aaron Winowiski. I'm the pastor here, and I am so excited that my pastor is here today. If any of you have ever seen, there's this movie, you've probably heard of it, Star Wars. And one of the cool things that happens in there that I think is a great picture of the journey that Jesus has us on is Jesus, when he was on earth, made disciples, and he told his disciples to make disciples. So there's this kind of disciple-apprentice relationship that that happens. And if Yoda was a Jedi master, then this is a Jedi pastor. He is. And one of the lines that Yoda says in The Empire Strikes Back, when 900 years old you are, look good, look this good, you will not. And I don't know. I don't keep track of how long you've been around, Pastor Joss. I know it's not 900 years, but how could I know for sure, really? But I think by the time you've shared with us your message about things that you've learned on your journey, I think all of us are going to be saying, I want to grow up to be like him. So if we could give a warm welcome to the guy who prayed with me to receive Jesus as my Savior, let's welcome Pastor Joss.
What a privilege it is to be here. I'll share some of my story, what has happened in the last 6 months to me, and how God has been so faithful, but I'm also going to share some lessons I have learned over the 50 years that I made my decision to be a Christ follower. It was 50 years in June, and I was 32 years old and managing a supermarket in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and life was good, but I was drinking a lot, a whole lot, and my wife and I were married at that time 12 years, and it wouldn't have been hard for her to walk away, and I wouldn't have blamed her, but she stuck in there, and now in November it'll be 62 years for us, and it's been a good, good experience. Yeah. And I want to share with you some of the lessons I have learned and how God has affirmed his word to me in the last 6 months. Since I have gone through a series of events in my life I hadn't expected at all. You know, I don't know if I was, can't remember the last time I was here, but I was having trouble speaking and found out that a disc had blown in my neck and two of the vertebrae had squashed half of my voice box. And I went in to have a pre-op to get my neck taken care of. And all of a sudden they told me, you have to have a stress test. And I says, why? And they says, just you have to have a stress test. And I am so glad that that happened, because I wouldn't have made it through the surgery, because when I woke up after in the stress test and they did what they needed to do with my wife and my son's permission, and I had a triple bypass, they were going to do 5, ended up doing 3. And God has been with me every step of the way. And I am gaining back my strength, gaining back my weight, and a lot of people, I'll be 82 in September, a lot of men give up about that time. And we'll talk about that, and the man in the scriptures that gave up when he was 80 years old because he thought he had ended his years of being useful to the king. And I don't know how many are here are close to my age, but if you're not close, you will be. And there are so many things that I want to help you to understand this morning. I'd like you to turn, if you have your Bibles, with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 1 to 5. But we're just going to look at verse 1 today, because this will set the message that I want you to hear. You need to get a hold of this fact. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. And then as I began to ponder that a number of years ago, part of my struggle with trusting God was he wasn't providing for me according to the way that I thought he would provide for me. And I was thinking physically, and of course God is trying to work in me spiritually. And then I came to the realization, it was just like, boy, the light bulb went on, that I am a spiritual being going through a physical experience. And when this body gives up, can't go anymore, and I die, and I go to heaven, I will receive a new body, which will not be a body that will feel pain or suffer or anything. It's just going to be an eternal body. And as I begin to think that through for me, now why during this time, when I have to go through some pretty difficult times with my body, why is that important? And then I begin to understand, because that is the way that God takes me through these experiences, enables me to trust him more and more and more, and to become more like Jesus who died for me. And I begin to really look forward to those times when God was going to draw me closer and hold me closer and say, I will enable you to get through this time, and on the other side, it will be worth it all. And I'm going to focus on this morning on Philippians 4, verses 4 through 13. Now, these verses have meant more to me than I can explain to you in a short time that I have, but they are the verses that have enabled me to walk through 50 years of sobriety and to understand what it means that God will enable me to get through and to grow through the experiences of life. And I don't need something that this world can give. God will give me everything that I need. And in Philippians 4, the first thing I want you to think about is that God is always near to those who love him. When I became a believer back in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, I was in a hellfire and damnation church where the God that they talked to me about was a God that was angry and he was going to punish those who were in sin if they didn't accept Jesus. And that wasn't attractive to me. I mean, I didn't want to spend eternity with an angry God. And then as I begin to grow as a Christian, I begin to understand that God is a God of love. And as I begin to gain an understanding of the gospel in a way that says, come to God, he loves you, he will enable you to experience his love, he will enable you to share his love, he will use you in ways that you hadn't thought possible. And I came to Mosinee 36 years ago and planted a church called Good News. And God used that church to touch a lot of lives. Now for the last 12 years, I've been a pastor to 25 pastors and a helper to 15 churches. And God has just used me in ways that I had never thought possible, because I'm kind of a shy guy that couldn't really laugh and have fun without booze. And then I began to understand that God says, do not be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you will experience much more than you ever thought possible when you do life God's way. Verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. Can you live life that way? To be rejoicing always, no matter what is coming your way? To know that God is always near to those who love him? And that's really important, because I talk to people that don't talk to God unless there's something really going wrong. And then they're angry with God because they think God is doing something that they don't deserve. And then to try to help them understand, we deserve things that you hadn't even thought about. You know, we are a sinful people. But God has chosen to show us mercy, and God has chosen to show us love and to draw us closer to himself. But we need to want that. We want to have a personal relationship with God that is built upon the love that has been expressed in and through his son, Jesus Christ. And that love just begins to draw you to a God that loves you. And it's that love that kind of goes back up to him. And over the years of my ministry, I have just seen God work in so many ways. Just a few weeks ago, I was in the hospital with a lady named Barb, and she was near to being with God. And she said, "Pastor, Pastor," and I got down with my ear right next to her throat, and she says, "Why is it so hard to die?" And said, "Barb, I don't know, but it will be worth it all. Just let go." And within the hour, she let go. But there's something so beautiful about that. But then my wife the next day was at the library in Mosinee, and a lady came up to her and says, "You knew Barb, didn't you?" And my wife said, "Yes, I did." And he says, "Most people don't know this, but for the last 3 years, she has met with me on a regular basis to do a Bible study, to help me understand the love of God, to help me understand what could happen if I would give my life to Jesus." And boy, those are such wonderful moments to see how that is passed on to people. Psalm 145:18, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." And as I think about what that means to all of us, when we call upon God, do we call upon him in truth? Do we call upon him knowing that we are sinners that deserve nothing? But he is a God who wants to give us everything. He wants to give us the joy and the peace and the life that Jesus lived while he was upon the earth. He wants us to really, really have the best of all possible lives. But we have to know him. We have to call upon him in truth. We have to really believe that he is there and he wants to hear and he wants to talk with us and he wants to provide for us. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Come near to God and he will come near to you." And I think as I have over the years understood what it means to come near to God in my times when a lot of people are so angry because they think God cannot be a loving God if he allows this to happen. And we live in such a sinful world, and it is getting more and more confusing. And we have to be the people that are willing to share the gospel with people that we meet along the way. And I see this church is involved in Revive Wisconsin, and what a great opportunity just to meet with people, just to meet with people who need to know Jesus. I was at a meeting with the pastors a while back, and somebody says, "Do you know a person named?" And they gave me her name, and I said, "Yes, I do know her." And she said, "We met her on the street in Wausau, and we were sharing the gospel with her. And she took the Bible that we gave her, and she was crying, and we were praying with her. And when we got done, she said, 'Do you know Pastor Joss?'" And I guess she had been at a funeral that I had conducted for a friend of hers. And they said, I think Aaron was there, I think, or Kim Swenson was there. And they said, "Sure, we know Pastor Joss." And she said, "Would you tell him that if Nancy passes away, I'm available?" And I thought, wow, what a testimony that there is something about knowing God and sharing God in a way that they weren't attracted to me as a person, but to the God that I was talking about. Now, the second thing that I've learned over the years that I think can really be helpful to you today is that our thought life determines, for the most part, our behaviors. We cannot control what goes into our minds, but we can control what happens to those. We don't have to let them be there for very long, because if we don't deal with our thought life in a proper way, we'll end up doing things that we never thought we would do, that we had said, "I'll never do that again." And then a thought comes into our mind and we begin to ponder it. And pretty soon it becomes a word and we begin to talk about it with others. And pretty soon it becomes an action. And then it becomes a habit. And then it becomes a destiny. And I think we need to get a hold of what that means, is that when I am thinking thoughts that are not pleasing to God, I don't have to think about them. I can push them out with thoughts that are pleasing to God. Verses 8 and 9 from Philippians 4. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." And then 2 Corinthians 10:5, We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, I used to see things on television or read something in a book that would bring back a thought from my past. And I'd keep thinking about it and wonder that was fun and all of that kind of stuff. And pretty soon I began to wonder, that wasn't so bad. You know, God loved me and he probably wouldn't mind if I engaged in that kind of behavior again. And then I began to think, no, this isn't something that Jesus would think about. This isn't something that Jesus would do, and I need to push it away with the thoughts that God has given us in Scripture, with the thoughts that God has given us about his Son. He has really helped us to understand that we can think good thoughts. I was thinking through my time of recovering from my neck surgery. I now have my vertebrae 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 fused together in my lower back. I have a double laminectomy where that began to, the spinal canal began to twist and they fixed that up. And I've got, you know, the triple bypass and all that kind of stuff. And I was thinking one day, is it time for me to say, God, you can't use me anymore? I'm almost 82. And everything that is going on with me today means that maybe this is time for me to hang it up, to say that this is enough. And I was doing my devotional that day, and my part of my devotionals was 2 Samuel chapter 19, verses 34 and 35. And it was about a man named Barzillai. And Barzillai was a man who was hardworking. He was strong. That's what his name means, strong. He was a man who was very wealthy, and David had been through his land, and Barzillai had not only given him a safe place to spend some time to rest, but given him everything he would need to make his time worthwhile. And then David was going into Jerusalem, and he said to Barzillai, Barzillai, come to Jerusalem and let me take care of you. And just hear what Barzillai answered the king. How many more years will I live that I should go up to Jerusalem with the king? I am now 80 years old. Can I tell the difference between what is enjoyable and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats and drinks? Can I still hear the voices of male and female singers? Now Barzillai is saying, I've had my day. I'm ready to go home and hang it up and die. And I thought for a moment, God, are you saying that that's what I should do? And then I began to laugh and I said, no, Barzillai hadn't got a hold of the fact that he was a spiritual being going through a physical experience and he should get ready to meet the Lord face to face, go with the king and just spend with him and let the king take care of him. And he didn't know what would happen to him there. But God really spoke to me and he said, no, I don't think God is done with you yet. And I've got a friend that has kind of decided it's time to hang it up, and he's gone through some things that are not quite what I went through. But I run into too many people that say there's a time in my life and I need to say it's enough. I've done all I can. And I say, man, that's not true for any of us. If nothing else, you can pray. And you can find a way to befriend someone who just needs a friend. You can find a person who's really hurting right now. And if you went and just spent some time with them, prayed with them, and really helped them to understand the love of Jesus, God would really honor that. But this list, go through that list again. You probably have heard this. Steve Covey wrote a book called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And in the book, he says, sow a thought and reap a word. Sow a word, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. And I want you to think about that. Because that is so true. If you would have known this guy standing here today in his early 30s, when I was so into the wrong kind of behaviors, my mind was filled with the wrong kind of thoughts. I never stopped thinking about that next drink, and as I managed my store, I had bottles hid in the coolers and stuff like that to get me through the day. And it was just a whole different kind of life. And now after 50 years, I'm beginning to understand what it means to live close to God, to experience God in a personal way, to have that understanding that God will take care of me and he has promised to do that, and to really get hold of what it means to be content with the life that I have every day. And as I was thinking through this message today, I went in and just did a little study on the word contentment. And the one thing that jumped up was contentment means a satisfied mind. I am satisfied deep within my mind, deep within my soul, that God loves me, that he is going to be there for me each step of the way, that I am doing the best I can. And when I fail, he's the first one to take a hold of me and hold me and say, it's okay. We'll get it right next time. It will become easier as you put your faith and trust in Jesus. The secret to being content, Philippians 4, 10 to 12. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And I've really got a hold of the fact, 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 8, that godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. And I want to really move through this last part because I want to get you thinking this way, if God is working in your life, and I hope he is, that there's so many lessons that God wants to teach us if we're open to learning. Every day is like going to school for me. God, what are you going to teach me today? What can I do? I went to the cardiac rehab, and I was working out there, and all of a sudden I was doing so well. Why? Because I was pushing myself, and I was beginning to understand that I'm going to make it through. And I wasn't so sure. I wasn't so sure how long my life was going to last here on earth. But then I began to get a hold of the fact that God was going to use me in ways that I, again, hadn't thought possible because of what he had taken me through. And I began to understand what it means that there is victory in Jesus. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. That's the last verse that we have been looking at. I can do all things through God who gives me strength. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do all what? I can do all the things that we've just talked about. I can control my thought life. I can learn the secret of contentment. I can understand that when I am weak, then I am strong. I can understand the fact that God, as he has promised all of his children, he will take care of them right up to the end. And when they meet Jesus, they will know it will be worth it all. Now, my parents both died when they were 76. My dad had osteoarthritis. I inherited that from him. My mom died of a carotid artery that got plugged. I inherited part of that from him because they've been working on that with me. But my body is only temporary, and I, as a spiritual being, have learned that I can grow through no matter what comes my way if I will but trust God and ask him to come and give me the strength that I need to get through. 2 weeks ago in church, we sang a song that I think you're familiar with. It's called Victory in Jesus. And I just wrote this down. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. And as I was going through that, I made a circle and underlined the word somehow. Because God works in ways that I had never expected him to work, but somehow he brings the victory. If you trust him and hang in there as long as you need to, because I can do everything that he asked me to do, everything that he has promised he will do in response to my obeying him, because he is going to give me strength. I can know that God is always near. I can control my behavior by controlling my thoughts. I can be content by being ready to leave this world with a satisfied mind. An old song, country western, when my life is over and my time has run out, my friends and my loved ones, I'll leave there, no doubt. But one thing for certain, when it comes my time, I'll leave this whole world with a satisfied mind. And that's really what I am looking forward to, is leaving this world with a satisfied mind. My wife and I had a time of prayer before I came, and she said, I'd never thought you'd be able to get back and do what you love to do, is share the love of God, share the promises of God, share the word of God in ways that it has meant so much to you. And I've seen God change you, she said, in so many ways. Isaiah 40, 29 to 31. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And then 2 Corinthians 12, as we close today, Paul was really going through a hard time physically. Some of the things I have been going through. And some things people think it had to do with his speech or his eyes or whatever it was. But he says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I think, you know, as I've gone through this time, God has taught me so much more than I would have if I hadn't gone through it and trusted him. And when I was in the hospital, to see God allow me to share my faith with somebody who was taking care of me and really needed a friend, really needed a pastor, and opportunities have come up along the way, and that can be true for you as well. Would you pray with me? Father God, I just thank you so much for the way that you have revealed yourself to me and to so many who have gone through difficult times. And as you have brought them through, you have given them an opportunity to share that in ways that others can understand, that you are a God that promises to be near us to the very end. You are a God who has promised to control our thought life so that we can grow into Christ's likeness. You are a God who has promised to enable us to be content in any and every circumstance. And you have our God that has promised to give us strength in our time of weakness. Father, I just thank you for these promises and for all that you have done for so many who have trusted you to the very end. I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.